Hello, all you scaredy cats and kittens, and welcome to the Two Scaredy Cats podcast, where we talk about all things strange, unusual, and paranormal. We're your hostess with the mostess. I'm Stacy.
I'm Kara.
So, Kara, this weekend, I know you were in Portland, Oregon. Did you get to do anything cool while you were there? Did you see any Bigfoot or anything cool like that?
I wish. Well, we did do some cool stuff, though.
What'd you guys do?
So, on Thursday, we went to, it's called Ravensclaw Manor. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like an old, like, haunted manor themed bar slash restaurant.
Ooh, that sounds really cool.
Yeah. So they have like these creepy dolls just like everywhere. They have like other fun stuff. And the waiters are funny. Like, you know, they're like, they like get in the role. Like, our waiter had like blood splatter all over.
Oh, that's funny. Huh. That sounds cool.
Yeah. And it kind of felt like a Disney experience. It's like if you went to Haunted Mansion, but it's like a bar.
Oh,
like
that's
it had that
cool
kind of like vibe. All the people who worked there were kind of like in character.
Neat.
And like all of their drinks were themed. Like, and you could walk around and explore. They had like some little rooms in the basement. They had like a torture chamber area.
Hmm.
It was pretty cool. That place was fun. Like, at least the food I got their spinach artichoke dip, and it was really cute. They had like the bread was like little gravestones. It said like RIP on it.
Aw,
neat. It was really good.
Huh, that sounds cool.
Like, I ate all of it. I was like, oh my god, this is... I don't know if it was, I was really hungry. Who knows? Which I was hungry because... And I was also, my brain was all messed up because I just went 3 hours back in time, basically. It was like a 3-hour time difference on the West Coast compared
yeah,
to us.
That's right.
For Eastern time and their Pacific. Yep. But it was a really cool place. And if like you're ever in Portland, they do reservations ahead of time.
And oh, that's nice, because some places won't do that, and then you got to wait in line forever to get in.
Yeah, we had, like, eight people at our table, so it was pretty cool.
Hmm.
So they do sit, like, that's larger neat groups, but, I mean, we also went on Thursday, so it wasn't as busy, but I've heard, like, on the weekend, especially in October.
On the weekend, it's
crazy. You almost, like, have to have. Luckily, it was November.
Huh.
So they had actually had some, like, Christmas decorations up, if that makes sense. They had, like, an upside-down Christmas tree upstairs, which was really...
Oh,
pretty
cool.
Spooky.
Yeah.
Because you know Krampus. He's kind of spooky.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, I don't know if you saw this, but when I was on Facebook the other day, a thing came across my Facebook feed. They're doing a Krampus haunted house. It's called, like, Fear up by you in Columbus.
Really? The Fear place?
Yeah.
That's
they're
cool.
Turning it. Yeah. They're turning it into, like,
Christmas
a whole Krampus
theme
thing. Yes. Yeah. I saw that and I'm like, ooh, Kara and Savannah would probably want to go do that. So I thought I'd mention it to you. You should check it out.
Oh, yeah. So we did that on Thursday. Then I went to the convention the rest of the days. And then Sunday night.
Right.
We wanted to do something else. I really wanted to go to the, I think it's like something Pacific. I think it's a Pacific North. I can't remember what it was. But it was like for that area. It was a Bigfoot museum. And I wanted to go so bad. But it closed
neat
at 5 p.m. And it was like 4 o'clock.
Oh.
But by the time I got there, it would have been like really close to closing. I don't want to be that guy.
Too late. Yeah.
So instead we went to the Freaky But True Peculiarium and Museum in Portland, which is also pretty.
Oh, that sounds cool.
And it was pretty like affordable. So admission was $7. And it was basically just like, they just collected a bunch of like spooky and like occulty kind of stuff. And it was kind of like a mixture of like an art installation at the same time, because like so the first room you walk into literally has Krampus, okay, and you can sit on his lap.
Oh, neat.
And
oh,
get photos.
That is crazy.
And of course I was like, oh my god, I want a photo sitting on Krampus's lap.
Oh dear lord, yes you would.
And there was like a thing saying like, please don't put your children on this if they don't want to. We don't want to be why your kid has to go to therapy or something funny. It was very tongue-in-cheek, the
that
whole
is
place
funny.
It
you
did
know-
say like it's not really made for kids. But obviously, you know, someone's gonna bring their fucking kid anyways.
People
still
bring
like
their
had
kid
things everywhere saying like, don't let your kids mess with this, blah 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 blah.
Yeah. Huh.
And they had like this little hallway with like some really interesting art. Like a clown. There was like a clown
ooh,
painting.
Yeah.
Which was kinda
I don't
spooky
like clowns.
Just some other interesting, and then they went into a back room and they had this like laser
huh
thing that you could, like, push around and, like, it would spin with, like, the momentum.
Oh, neat. Sounds pretty cool.
They had the haunted dollhouse or whatever, which is kind
of
cool.
You got to send me pictures of that. I want to see what this haunted dollhouse looks
like. Yeah, I got some. It's just like a normal dollhouse, mm-hmm. but it's like really disturbing on the inside. It's like people dying, being murdered, and someone killing them. Like, it's really dark, but it's very interesting. And they had like a whole little story for all of them.
Interesting. Yeah, it sounds neat.
It was a pretty, like, it's the price, it was good. Like, I wouldn't pay like $20 to go mm-hmm. to it, but like $7, I'd be like, okay. And if you come in costume, it's free. Oh. But they did say decent costume. Ah. So I'm guessing they don't want, like, just for me, like, yo, I'm a guy going to a baseball game.
Right.
Like, those stupid costumes. Because my friend I was with, they were dressed up earlier because we were at the convention earlier. I was like, just keep in costume. You can save $7 or whatever. But they were like, no, I'm getting out of this. They were dressed up as really? Dr. Strange.
Ooh, you have to send me a picture of that. So. I'd like to see that. But anyway, that sounds like fun.
It was pretty cool. Their gift shop was interesting.
Did you buy anything?
Really interesting. I almost did as a gag gift because it was rough. Okay. I'll have to send it to you. I was like, oh my God. It was like a dress up Jesus. And rough.
Yeah, that's all you need to say.
Like, just imagine
You don't have to say anything else.
And it was like little magnet things. Yeah. I'll have to send you a photo. It's really funny, but I... not gonna say what it was.
Cause let's keep it PG. Yeah,
it was a little tongue in cheek. Yeah, we'll you know keep what it I mean.
PG,
but yeah, I definitely recommend checking out both of those places. I really love the Ravens Manor if you want like a cool place to eat, and just like the atmosphere was really fun.
I wish we had something cool like that around here in Cincinnati, but unfortunately, we don't.
I know. Like, it was so cool, and like the drinks were really fun. I got like a eggnog or something. Oh, okay, like it was called a nutty nog or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It tasted really good. That's why I wanted it.
Right.
And then one of our friends got this thing that was based off of the blob. So it was just like a giant blob.
Oh, that's funny.
Drink. And then someone got like this skull drink. It was pretty cool.
Sounds neat.
Yeah. Definitely recommend that. Did you do anything fun this week?
Let's see. I got a new car. Well, new to me anyway. I got a new used car, which is nice. And then we decided time to rip up the living room and the dining room. And we encountered several issues doing that. But we're back on track again. And hopefully it'll be done before I have everybody over for Thanksgiving on next Saturday. Let's hope. Fingers crossed. But yeah, so that's what's going on in my neck of the woods. So I have a mess in my house right now. Everything's got...
Yeah, hopefully.
Right? I got everything going from one end of my house to the other. It's been crazy. I just want it all to get re-put back. And I want Christmas stuff out so bad, but I can't because I'm stuck. Because I can't put it up because the room I put it up in is, like, totally dismantled right now. So, hopefully, I'll be all back together by the time we have our next podcast. And things will be good in the world again. So, I guess I'll go ahead and go first this time. This week, I will be talking about Moho, and the Moho is a shape-shifting lizard spirit in Hawaiian mythology. Yeah, this thing is pretty cool. I've never heard of these before, and I actually went to Hawaii. So about 28 years ago, we were in Maui, and I didn't realize that this was even existed or going on while we were there, because we actually went to one of the places that they mentioned that there is a Moho connected to it. So I thought that was pretty cool. But anyway, so I'll explain what exactly a Moho is and how they are related in Hawaiian mythology. It is said that if you are hiking in the woods in Hawaii and you come across a fresh body of water in a secluded area and everything is very still, and it happens that the plants are yellow and the water has this like greenish yellowish froth on top of it, that you probably have stumbled across the home of a Moho and you should probably run. So basically, Moho, which when you translate it in Hawaiian culture, it essentially means lizard god. Mauos are shape-shifting lizard spirits, and they live primarily in or near fresh water. So you will not find these near the ocean at all. They only like fresh water. They can vary in size, appearing as tall as a mountain or as tiny as a little itty-bitty house gecko. And I don't know if you've ever been to Hawaii before, but when we were in Hawaii, they have geckos all over there. They're so cute and adorable, but they're all over. So, you know, you never know if you're running into a moho or if it's just, you know, a normal gecko. It's said that they possess the power over weather and the water. Back during ancient times, when they would pray to the moos, and they would construct these little altars for them, and the moos would help them bring in a bunch of fish. It would also help in their life to make sure that they did well and they prospered. A lot of people had their own personal particular moos that they would go and worship. And also they said that when they would die, its body would become petrified and then it would become part of the landscape. And if you ever happen to be able to visit Hawaii, or if you look up pictures, there is a blown out crater that sits not too far off the coast of Maui that a lot of people go and go snorkeling at. Well, when the top of the crater blew off, there is a, if you look at it from a certain angle, there it looks like there's a dragon's head that's peeking out over the top of it. And they say that that is one of the moos that got petrified, and it's now looking over that body of water there to help protect it. So these creatures are mostly female, and they are known to be very fickle. They're also stunningly beautiful when they are in their female form. Wow. So you kind of want to think of them as sirens. And a lot of times...
So they're like humans?
Yes. Is that what you're saying? They turn into humans.
Like they look like a human
women? They look like they will turn into human women, and they are supposed to be gorgeous. But they're not, and they'll trick you sometimes. Like they do... Like, some of them are nice, don't get me wrong, but there were some that were really bad, and the bad ones were killed. Their bodies, you know how, like, I talked about how they become petrified, but, so they can either be bad or good. It just really depends on, which type of, moho you came across. So during ancient times, they were believed to be a guardian spirit god, protecting people, places, and the geographic areas, especially where there was fresh water or a spring flowed from. So a lot of times you would find them in areas where spring water was coming up from the ground. There's several areas like that on Maui, especially in these very touristy areas. I didn't realize. I mean, I remember going there and seeing it and didn't think anything of it. And it was actually an area where a particular moho had been. So accordingly, Fate magazine, and I didn't realize there was a Fate magazine. I'm learning all kinds of new things.
Yes.
Did a cover story on the moos. They said that they would resemble a huge, shiny, black, dragon-esque lizard. And these lizards could measure anywhere between 12 and 30 feet long. So these things are, they're huge. And it said...
Some big boys.
Yes, very big boys. It sounds pretty cool. I would like to meet one. But...
Yeah, I want to go see
They said that people were recounting stories of when they were little in the, when I was reading in the article from the magazine. And they would talk about how their mom or their grandma would bring this little girl. This lady was like 8 years old and she went with her mother and grandmother. And they went to a particular spring where they had known that... moho had lived, and they would build these little altars there, and they would light like a candle and have like this flame. And she said, when you looked into the water, you would see these black dragon lizard looking creatures that would come to the surface of the water, just watch, because they were leaving a gift and an offering for them to help out them in their daily lives. And she said it was really neat. Scary, but really neat. So the reason for the different accounts of their form, you know how it like varies. Like some people said it looks like a gecko. Some people said it looks like this giant dragon. And then others were like, oh, it's a lady. Yeah. That's because their form varies. You know, like I said, it can be either one of those three types of things. And the way that they communicate with people is through their dreams. So it's not like you're going to walk up to one, especially if, I guess, in their female form, they can't talk. You know, mostly when they were wooing men, it was like, you know, in the nighttime. So they didn't really have to talk a lot. Yeah. So like I said, they talk, communicate with people in their dreams. They are said to eat the awa root. And they would also like to drink it like in a liquid form. They would make a type of like tonic mixture that they would drink, and they would get intoxicated from this. Okay. And they get so intoxicated that they like flip over on their side, and their like fin will flip back and forth in the water. They like rock back and forth in the water because they're so intoxicated with it. So I guess if you ever want to get away from them, you know, if they're like hunting you, give them some awa root juice or whatever, and they'll take it and then they'll start flapping around. Right. Exactly. essentially, that's what you're doing. Yeah. But they really love this stuff. I mean, that's why they stay near these water, ponds and stuff, because they have awa root growing around or near it. And that's what they like to drink and eat, apparently. So these creatures can also be seen by making an altar, like I talked about in the story about the lady when she was little would go with her mom and her grandma. And basically, you build this little altar. You build it near, you know, the water area of where you believe they might live. And you light a candle or some type of little fire, so you have a flame going. And they are attracted to this flame. And they will come and grant whatever it is that you wish for them to help you do. A lot of times, a lot of fishermen will pay homage to the Mo'au, leave a gift for them so that they will help them get a lot of fish to bring home so they make money for their family. On the island of Maui, they believe that one of the sacred lizards or dragons lives in the Takea fish pond, which is located in Kalope, which is near Kauai. Now, to this day, fishermen will call upon the spirit of the Kalamenu'u, who is said to be like a major mo'o that a lot of people like will pray and wash up to help them in their lives. When they do this, it is said that their fish buckets or whatever they're using to capture the fish with will become full. And so then they'll have a good crop of fish to take and sell and make money for themselves and their family. Like I said, that people have talked about these dragon, gecko, shape-shifting ladies, you know, for many, many years. Still today, it is believed that several of them still remain, and they still build their little altars to them to help guide them or help, you know, make their wishes come true. So, and there have been a couple stories over the past few years of people spotting the dragon type version of them in their dragon form, which is kind of cool. It's kind of neat to think that Hawaii, you know, has a cool dragon you can go see.
I want to go see the dragons.
I know. It sounds cool. Funny enough, I found a picture of a statue that somebody had made in honor of the Mo'o. It's pretty interesting statue, but I never realized that that's what the statue was of when we were, like I said, when we visited there. And we even went to like the cultural center. They really didn't, I don't remember reading or hearing about that because I would have naturally been interested in it. I mean, even at that time, but yeah, but they didn't talk about it. So, but yeah, I just thought that was really cool. You know, something a little different. So yeah, that is what's going on with the Mo'os, and maybe when you go to Hawaii or Maui or even Hawaii, honestly, maybe you'll get to see one or can leave a little gift for one and maybe they'll come visit you.
Yeah. Sounds pretty fun though. I'd yeah. See the lizards.
I would love to see that and in its dragon form. I think that would be cool.
I want to see it with a woman. Like, what
does
it look like?
Yeah, right? I know. That makes you wonder, doesn't it? Kind of trying to figure out, right, it makes you wonder what they think, you know, what their version of a lady looks like. But apparently, everybody says when they see it in the late female version, it's very beautiful. Like, well, that's all I have today. So what do you have for us this week, Kara?
So we are going to be talking about the God Helmet.
Ooh, okay.
So this is going to be a little bit pretty scientific, more science heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Just about the concepts, and I had to like reread so many of these paragraphs to like be able to like
understand it,
understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just gonna have to bear with me. I've tried to like write it in something that someone would be able to understand, because I was like, what the heck are they talking about? Because it's very interesting when you like get down to it, but it was very science heavy.
Okay.
So the God Helmet basically is supposed to be a helmet that can help let you see God, mm-hmm. quote unquote.
Right.
So it was originally developed by two scientists at Laurentian University Behavioral Neuroscience Program by Stan Coran, which is another name for the helmet, is the Coran Helmet.
Okay.
And Dr. Michael Persinger.
Huh.
The God Helmet was not originally developed to see God, but it tests certain aspects of the brain's functioning.
Huh.
So the virtual hemisphericity hypothesis is basically that each sides of our brain work together to give us our sense of self, mm-hmm. like how we view ourselves. And normally, if your brain is functioning correctly, the left side is the more dominant one.
Okay.
Normally.
Mm-hmm.
So the left side's like language, basically.
Yeah, the right like side's like artistic
center.
And all
but
that.
But the
yeah.
right center is kind of like remembering all the memories
okay.
that kind of put. So they work together, mm-hmm. but normally it's the left side. So when communication between the left and the right is like disturbed or like
altered?
Messed up, basically. Yeah, altered. The self in the right hemisphere would become the higher awareness.
Huh.
Would become the dominant self.
Okay.
Which can scare people, as we'll talk about. So the helmet was intended to test the idea that religion and mystic experiences comes from altering the temporal lobe function. So the helmet itself was a modified snowmobile helmet with electromagnetic coils that would simulate specific parts of your brain.
Hmm, that sounds scary. What poor schlup had to try that on the first couple times to get it right?
Yeah. So basically, like, there's, like, it's really interesting. So during the experiments, they found that about 80% of people would feel as if that there was another presence in the room besides themselves. They would
oh,
be in, like,
creepy.
A little... Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Hmm.
So they'd be put into a acoustic chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So they could not, like, outside sounds couldn't interfere.
Right.
And I believe it would also block everything except the magnetic fields from the Earth, specifically. Like, your cell phone would not work inside of this room because there would be no way for, like, the radio waves to get through.
So is this kind of like what they did with Eleven when they put her, like, in that deprivation chamber type thing? Or is this a little different than that?
It's kind of similar.
Okay.
Kind of, but it's... That was, like, they would take away all the senses. This isn't necessarily taking away your senses.
Okay.
Other than it's just messing with your brain. And then they put you in a room so that other stuff cannot kind of mess.
Interfere, right. Because they say that microwave waves and all that will mess with you. Okay, I got it. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, wearing the helmet, some would experience, I mean, they would also do the feeling the presence, but they would mm-hmm. also experience this thing such as they would have near death-like experiences.
What? Wait, while they have the helmet on?
Yeah. Like, they would kind of, like, you know how, like, people would have the near-death experience, they would, like, have the life flash before
yeah,
their
yeah,
eyes,
yeah,
they would
yeah.
have that.
Yeah.
People would have out-of-body experiences.
Oh, that's creepy.
Intense emotional bursts.
Hmm.
They, 1% would have visions of, like, a god. Like, they would have literal, like, think that they saw God would be talking to them.
Really?
Wow. And then some people have really intense fear and anxiety will just, like, overcome them.
Are you sure
then,
they're like, not talking 80%. To aliens at this point?
I don't know. Like, we're going to talk about that
okay,
after we
okay.
get through this. Because I'm kind of, like, curious what you think about it. Because
okay.
it's really interesting what they, like, kind of experience.
Right. Go ahead. Sorry. I won't
so, interrupt. Oh, no, you're fine. Like, I was, because I don't have a lot on it, but I figured mm-hmm. it's more of a topic of discussion.
Because mm-hmm.
it's really interesting. Like, I really want to try it. Mario's like, you can't do it. So, how the helmet works. Because I was like, okay, but how are the electric magnetic cylinders, what are they doing to get this effect.
Mm-hmm.
So how the helmet works, it first stimulates the right side of the brain with a signal.
Okay.
It's like a blank kind of signal.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people will begin to experience, only a few people will get this really intense fear and anxiety,
mm-hmm.
but most of the people will start to, it will start to elicit like visual imagery,
mm-hmm.
which is more common. And then they'll move to the second phase of the experiment, which is they apply the amygdala signal over both sides of the brain. This will activate the left amygdala, and it will create the strong imagery from the right hippocampus, but then it will also do the joy and bliss ecstasy from the left side. So you'll basically get these really intense, like, visuals,
mm-hmm.
but then you will also feel, like, these overwhelming joy and ecstasy.
Huh.
It basically creates a mystical experience.
Okay.
However, then sometimes they will do the opposite and they'll apply the hippocampus signal to both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will create like almost a very calm, detached experience where the people will feel like they're detached from their bodies almost,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting.
Mm.
And then it's less of disrupting the sides of the brain
mm-hmm.
from being able to talk to each other because that's what they do. It's more of one side is very active while the other side is not.
Like it's kind of
like normally what happens.
Sleeping or something, correct? While the other side
yes.
is okay.
So or not sleeping, but like it's not as active.
Okay.
Which is this is something that naturally happens. Obviously this is a little bit more intense.
Mm-hmm.
But one way they found is that if so say my left side of my brain is super intense. My right side's dormant. And then they do something to very fast make the other side the dominant and the mm-hmm. other one not as dominant. It will create a very intense sensation. That's how you get those intense, joy, bliss, ecstasy kind of things.
Hmm.
But then it can be bad for you in, like, normal situations.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, people in extreme fear or anxiety, they will also report the out-of-body experience, you know?
Yeah.
They're, like, in a natural setting.
Mm-hmm.
So it can do either or depending on what is the stimulus that triggers the reaction.
Got ya.
So on one side of the brain is dominant and active, and the other side suddenly activates and becomes dominant. It can elicit a spiritual experience.
Hmm.
And also, what people will see, like, during their visions or whatever, is mm-hmm. kind of linked to what their belief is.
Okay.
So, gotcha. Like, if you were Catholic,
right.
you're going to see Jesus or God or whatever, you know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you believe in the paranormal, you're most likely to see, like, ghosts and other kind of stuff. So it also has to do with that.
So they're not all experiencing the same thing. They don't all experience the same type of God.
It all depends on the kind of person. Yeah.
High, okay.
But they all have very similar experiences of seeing something.
Right. But it's not the same thing. So it's not a shared experience. Okay. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
So the thing of, remember how I talked about how sometimes they would see?
Mm-hmm.
They would feel like there's a presence in the room.
Right, right, yeah.
It's when the right side of their brain was active.
Really?
Remember how I told you the other yeah. sense of self?
And then the left?
You cannot perceive both sides of yourself at the same time.
Okay.
So you perceive the right side of yourself as an entity outside of your body.
Oh, that's weird.
So that's why like 80% of people feel like there's something in the room.
Room, right. Because
they're actually feeling as if their other side of their brain is in control.
Okay, like, interesting.
It's, like I said, it's very science heavy,
yeah.
this topic, but it relates because people will have paranormal experiences during this,
mm-hmm.
like I said. Hmm. So, I mean, and then some people, like a philosophical question is, are we, when we do this, are we tampering into a different dimension?
That's what something? I'm thinking, yeah.
Or is it just, our brains just naturally do that?
Right.
So that's kind of the thing. Most of the stuff is off from an interview,
mm-hmm.
From the book, oh. A book you should read if you're really interested in this and want to read more about the experiments. It's called The God Helmet Experiments, the science they found and found God in the human brain.
And who's that by?
So, like, this is, like, a scientifically researched thing. There are research papers on this.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's really interesting. You can actually buy one online and have it sent to you.
Okay, so I have to ask.
Yeah.
Okay, you've watched Hell Year, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember when they were doing their experiment where they were communicating with the so-called alien or whatever it was they felt that they were communicating with? Wasn't that similar, what they were using, to what the God Helmet is?
What did they have on them? I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I think they were using
Yeah, God they helmet. Were. That's why I knew I heard the
I think
term.
That's literally what yes. it was. I think you're right, because I think I remember
yes,
that part.
Because I was like...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, yeah, so... Like I said, paranormal researchers have been using them,
right.
too, to, like, kind of mess with
it. And it makes
but
sense.
But I'm mainly talking about specifically
right.
the scientific studies
okay.
of it. But there are... It kind of leads into a deeper tunnel, because these are like, oh, we can access this.
Right.
You know, where else does this go?
Right.
I think it's so fascinating that we can kind of like
yeah.
provoke our brains into doing this.
Because they were talking about how the one girl, when she put it on, she had like an out-of-body experience. You know what I mean? Where she felt like
yes.
she left
okay,
her
yeah,
body.
I do remember.
Yeah.
That's what, because you were, we were talking about how you remember the name of the God
right.
helmet before. Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
It was in the Hell Year.
Okay.
Which is a good show.
Yeah. If you haven't
Everyone
seen, yeah,
it.
If you haven't seen Hell Year, you really need
it's
to watch it.
It's on Amazon Prime?
Yes.
I
yeah.
think.
It's very good.
And it's free from what I
yeah,
remember.
Yeah. So if you're a Prime member, go check it out. It's really good.
It's really interesting.
And you can witness yeah. them using the God Helmet and see how it works.
Yeah, they do use
yeah.
it. And like a lot of other, like I said, people use this
yeah.
as research. And
mm-hmm.
You can just get it. And then you're not supposed to use it, though, if like you have really bad depression. Because it can, like I said before, people who are like...
Yeah, you said more, that depending upon which side of your brain you see yourself with.
But, or like how you go into
right.
it. If you're already in like a negative
right.
headspace, because it's supposed to be basically like your brain on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know how like brain, your drugs will like affect your brain.
They're like psychedelics.
Like,
so they make
without
you,
having
yeah.
to actually do drugs.
Yeah. Make
without actually doing drugs. And he did say that you can only do it once a month. A week.
No, I know. Yeah, because... And
yeah, I'm not saying drugs,
yeah,
but I'm saying
right.
that you should do the God Helmet because it's safer than doing actual drugs.
You
but
can't
you can
do it a lot.
It,
yeah,
I
it'll mess with your...
Once a week, because otherwise if you do it too much, no, you'll just get... It won't have the same experience.
Yeah.
You know, like how if you do anything too much, it just mm-hmm. kind of doesn't have the same effect on your brain because your brain's
yeah.
used to it.
Yeah.
So you don't want to use it too much, you know.
I knew I'd heard of it before. Okay.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was hellier. I remember the
best. So wait, you said you could buy one online. Did you ever see how much they cost out of curiosity?
Last time I looked at that, it was like $200.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of pricey.
It was not a terrible
price. But I mean, you know.
I mean, it's literally just a helmet with like electromagnet, but it also comes with software.
Okay.
To do the specific signals in your brain, because like it doesn't do anything unless it does the specific.
Well, right.
Signals
then you're just replicate. You know, wearing a hockey helmet or whatever on your earth.
It was like a snowmobile helmet, is what it was described as.
Or a baseball helmet or something. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
It makes you think, you know.
Yep.
And like, it could go either way. It could be like, it's helping us get closer to that veil or whatever, the other dimension. Right. Or it could be just our brains are really weird.
But then it makes you wonder, though, I mean, if
is
you
religion
use this.
Real? Because that's another thing, that, too. But... I know, but like, because it makes people question, like, is it just our brains working? Like...
Right. No, I see what you're saying. Is it just your imagination?
Is it like an imagination or like something in our brains doing something to make us feel like we see God or whatever?
Or is it truly an experience?
Because if they can literally like replicate it in a setting, that's pretty crazy on a scientific study. That's what I mean. Like I said, it's pretty open-ended. But it's still, they have proven that it does when the brain functions. It is real. We don't know why it does it or if there's like an overarching thing, but I think it's pretty interesting.
I think it's fascinating from the fact of it makes you wonder, though, like, you know, you're using this and it's messing with your brain waves and patterns if you're not getting interference from
something else.
Like a higher presence or being.
Because it tunes you in that you can feel these things that aren't there.
Exactly.
We don't know. Right. But I think it's really cool, though.
It is.
That the brain does
it's
that.
It's very...
Or that they can replicate that in, like, a science setting.
That's very interesting.
And that there's, like, literal, like, articles about it, like, journals and, like, doctors who are researching this.
Right. Huh. Fascinating.
You have anything else today?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Well, if you enjoyed our podcast today, follow us on Instagram at @2scaredycatspodcast, and please be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps the show get discovered. And tune in 2 weeks for a new episode. And to all our scaredy cats and kittens out there, remember, curiosity didn't kill these 2 scaredy cats. Mm-hmm.